in a beautiful building, the Live Theatre in Newcastle. Old walls, old floor, with the amazing ability to block out all 3G and Wi-Fi signals from anywhere. History has a lot to answer for. Talking of technology, that was a very tenacious, tedious, not particularly good link. I'm sat with Rainy Cat, who earlier on today talked. First time I've ever seen you talk. Is that a weird thing?
It is. I've seen you talk loads of times. It's funny to have the tables turned.
And it was really interesting to see the wearable technology and how you are making electronics and gadgetry look comfortable, actually.
Really? Oh, thank you very much. Yes, I do my best. There's a lot to be said for making wearable technology comfortable with all the wires and batteries and circuitry and components that go into them.
So you had a couple of examples with you. Conductive thread, LEDs, Arduino. What other components do you incorporate into normal-ish clothing?
Okay, so apart from the elements that you mentioned, I use a lot of sensors. So, for example, heart rate sensors, accelerometers, temperature sensors, all different kinds of sensors, proximity, light, IR, several kinds. And I also use actuators and lots of different components that I bring all together to make interactive artworks and pieces of technology that have fun purposes.
It's the function that kind of blew me away. It seems to be only limited by your imagination. I particularly was taken by a garment which had a big heart on the back, but within that heart was almost like I explained it as a glowing traffic light. And this is for cyclists potentially to wear. And if a car gets too close to you, depending on its distance from you, it would flash at them or throb, pulsate at them, either green, you're at an okay distance, amber, you're getting a little bit close, like you maybe lay off a bit, and red, back off, which I thought was brilliant function for clothing. Why doesn't clothing do this now?
Well, it's all out there to play for, and thank you very much for the compliment. Well, I really enjoy playing with the technology, and my background in art makes me, like, well, I just can't help playing with, like, colour and different materials and the juxtaposition of like, the arty side of things and the technology side. So that framed together with a bit of code, and, like, well, the boundaries are limitless, really. It's just as, you know, as big as your imagination will take you.
So you had a voice-activated pendant you were wearing.
Yes, that's right. That's called a sound spark, and it's a PCB, a printed circuit board with a chip on it and a microphone and a set of blue LEDs, and basically that picks up any sound and reflects sound in pulsating lights.
And you talked about a couple of functions around that particular device or versions of that for accessibility, people who are deaf, unable to hear certain sounds.
Yes, that's right. The sound spark was made by my friend Eric Boyd, who's an artist who works in Vancouver, and he's given me a couple of these pieces that are okay for to hack. So basically what that means is he's given me two of them which aren't coated in epoxy resin, so I can actually get to the circuitry, and without the epoxy resin on, I can actually solder, pull them to pieces, add extra technology, and I'd really like to use them, as you mentioned, for accessibility reasons, to investigate how I can make sound artworks which actually help people who are hard of hearing. My father was deaf, and I remember all the fun that we had when someone knocks at the door, the phone rang, or somebody said something when they had their back to him. And by using multiple sound sparks, I'd like to see how I can communicate between devices and also make a device that's helpful to both hearing people and people who are hard of hearing, so they work together.
Seeing you at work and seeing the kind of things you've done and your association with the maker movement and all the makers who are doing that. I mean, I can't help but think you are pioneers at a really exciting time at the moment, because in many ways we are at the cusp of such incredible interconnectivity. If we think about what happens when IPv6 is properly rolled out and every little possible item that we're sewing and messing with, every button could have its own internet address potentially. Are you excited about where we're about to head into?
Excited, and I have a little bit of trepidation as well, because I don't know what's going to happen to all this data. But from a creator's point of view, it's a fantastic opportunity. And, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, we couldn't do this. And now we just have all this opportunity to converge art, technology, internet, connectivity, code, electronics. It's just like amazing. I'm just so excited, and it's really exciting for all those different makers and people of lots of different specializations and background to kind of come up with, you know, that gadget that they always wanted.
Well, you're definitely the kind of walking embodiment of a wonderful marriage between art and technology, and that's a lot of what Culture Code is trying to address here, to try and say this isn't as scary as you think it is. We shouldn't really be talking about art and technology. The technology is in many ways ubiquitous enough now to sit as a layer underneath or over the top or intertwined with any artistic endeavors you wish to undertake. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I feel that the specializations of art and technology have been separated for far too long, which has, you know, been a huge mistake. And now they're all coming together in one lovely fused mass ball of wonderful creativity. And it's the most exciting time. And it's great for younger generations, too, who are going to grow up with those opportunities and those forms of expressing themselves.
Definitely, and by dabbling and playing and experimenting with this, you also get to learn and be aware of this big data question that hangs over our head at the moment. How much data are we likely to be producing and recording and sharing, and where's it going and who owns it and what's the portability aspect of this? We need to know this. What are your thoughts on this right now?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of interesting ethical and legal questions in the future, and I'm looking forward to hearing what my peers have to say on that.
Well, thanks very much for inspiring people today. Where can people go to see some of your projects?
Okay, thank you very much for interviewing me today, Christian. People can see my work on my blog, which is rainycats.wordpress.com, or just search for I Love Kittens, which is my very technically named blog, or just search for me, Rain Ashford, on the internet, or look me up on Twitter at rainycat.
Thank you very much, at rainycat.
Thank you very much, at documentally.